Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Off right now because the second major is already underway on the PGA Tour. It's the PGA Championship, and we always love the opportunity to talk to our local PGA pro. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jimmy Hanlon. You can watch him on 18 Holes of Golf and the Swing Clinic on Bally Sports. He's a radio host on ESPN. He's the hardest working man in the golf business, Jimmy Hanlon. How are you today, Jimmy?
I don't know if you could actually say that right now. I'm in Florida, sitting out looking at the Atlantic Ocean in a condo here, so I'm not working very hard. But I did shoot a show today, so I'm done working for the day. So
you got it over.
I'm
done with.
I'm good.
That's great. So you're putting your feet up and enjoying the view and a few cocktails right now. That's fine. I'm curious, how much time then did you have to watch of the PGA Championship, the first round? Because, Jimmy, I watched that today instead of Guardians Baseball because I got ESPN Plus and I wanted to see that threesome of Tiger, Rory, and Jordan Spieth. So I watched at least 12 holes of that. What'd you catch today?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it. You know, I had the iPad there with the ESPN Plus going too. So we watched it as we were traveling around a little bit back and forth. We shot at Florida State a little earlier in the week, and we shot at Florida Atlantic University. We're doing college, we're on a college tour this year. So
nice.
So I watched it, caught as much as I could. Unfortunately, I got really excited about Tiger getting it to 2 under par and John Daly being there and all that kind of stuff. And the next time I looked, Tiger wasn't faring so well. So I missed a lot of the bad stuff, but I saw some of the good earlier in the round.
Jimmy, what can you tell us about Southern Hills Championship Course in Tulsa, Oklahoma? I mean, when I think golf and I think of the places where I watch you all the time on television, I don't think Oklahoma.
Yeah, isn't that the truth, huh? Well, I think the one thing that it is one thing that disappoints me, honestly, a little bit about the PGA of America is moving the PGA Championship to this part of the season, right? Because it kind of takes out where we can have it, right? I mean, it would be really hard for us to have one in Ohio right now. You know the weather we experienced mm-hmm. yesterday, right? And so we're probably never going to see a PGA Championship at Firestone or at Muirfield or any of our great golf courses in here in the Midwest. But down there, you know, the things that I remember about Tulsa is, you know, when Tiger won there, it was like 100, right? It was really hot. And it was really humid. Obviously, the weather's not quite as bad here, but it's a firm, hard golf course. The PGA does a very good Kerry Hegg is the best in the business, in my opinion, in setting up major championships. And so you'll see this golf course get harder as the week goes on. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see the greens get firmer as long as they don't get any rain. You're going to see the rough, obviously, will continue to grow every single day. And I think that will be the thing that you'll see about Southern Hills is it will, even though they got it today, Rory got it at 5 under, I think mm-hmm. that it will become more difficult as the week goes on.
Who does it favor?
You know, it's going to favor the guy at the end of the day that really drives it in the fairway. I don't know if you guys have seen much, but, you know, I just saw Colin Morikawa hit it in the rough here. He was a yard off, and it just looked like the ball was buried. There's just you got to drive it pretty straight this week. And the guy that makes a lot of putts, the greens look really good, right? They're in good shape. They look to be rolling well. And you just got to get the ball in the hole here because you're not going to hit all the greens. It's just a difficult major championship setup. So you got to be able to wedge it around the greens, get it up and down. Just saw actually Scottie Scheffler drove it out of the fairway, wedged it up close and missed it, right? You can't do that. This is a very good major championship golf course, and that's why the PGA, you know, hosted the event here because they can make it difficult enough to where, you know, there's a chance 2, 3, 4 under par could win the golf tournament this week if they don't see any rain.
Jimmy, I know why these guys aren't hitting it on the fairway. They didn't watch Swing Clinic last night. They're not setting themselves up correctly. That is my biggest pet peeve, dude. I will set myself up on a golf course, sure as heck thinking I'm going right at the pin and I'm going so far. Is there any way on the radio, I mean, honestly, you told us about your teaching app before, but I mean, honestly, is the app still in existence? If so, you have to tell us about us. But, I mean, talk about setting ourselves up, whether they're on a PGA championship or not.
Yeah, I mean, what you have to do is you just have to train your body, right? Just like you train your body to shoot foul shots. You train your body to do certain things in every sport. It's the same thing. You have to put clubs down. You have to put alignment sticks down, and you have to hit balls. And then when you do that, it becomes normal that you're aiming correctly when you're out on the golf course. But if you never practice it and you never lay clubs down to check and test where you're at, then it's super easy to slip into bad habits, right? To slip into maybe aiming a little right or looking a little left of your target, especially if you start pulling some shots. So it really comes, you know, it's the old adage, practice makes perfect, right? Yeah, you really need to test and check yourself all the time. And it's really, it's super easy. It's the two things that I see out of average golfers that that struggle the most is, number one is, like you just said, they set up incorrectly. They align wrong, right? Their setup and alignment is off. And number two is they grip the club improperly. And if you do those two things, it's really difficult, guys, to play good golf, right? It really is. You could have the perfect golf swing with a bad grip and aiming wrong, and the ball's not going to go where you want it to go. So you really have to practice those two things first, and then the other things will come along with it. So
happy to have PGA Tour Pro Jimmy Hanlon joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show, and he's breaking it down for us as far as the PGA Championship goes. And right now, Rory McIlroy, your leader at 5 under par, 65 today in round one. Will Zalatoris and Tom Hoge are at 4 under, and some others at 3 under. So if Rory was to shoot even par the rest of the weekend, do you think that would be good enough to win this, Jimmy?
Yeah, I actually do. If they don't get rain, and I have not actually seen a forecast, and I don't know if you guys have, but if they don't get rain, I think 500 par is a great score to post for this championship, without a doubt. And he got lucky, guys, right? He played early. Played early when the winds didn't kick up and the golf course wasn't as firm. And so he got the good, you know, turnaround this time. I mean, he'll have to play late tomorrow, so we'll see what the weather does. But at this point right now, you can see the winds kicking up here. You can see the golf course getting firmer. The ball's bouncing one big hop before it stops now for these guys. So he got a good, you know, it worked out good for him. And at the end of the day, he took advantage of it. And it was a good round of golf he played today. Every shot I saw him hit today was really good.
All right, tomorrow, here's your weather forecast, Jimmy Hanlon. High of 87, a 45% chance of rain. Wind south-southwest at 15 to 20 miles an hour tomorrow. So that's going to affect the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. That wind will affect it. And, you know, they probably want to see a little rain, right? I mean, I don't think the PGA wants to, but to soften this golf course up, because you get 20-mile-an-hour winds and it ends up not raining tomorrow, ooh, man, this golf course is going to be firm, 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 and fast, right? And which is great for major championship golf. That's the only thing that is really can stop these guys. They're so good. They can hit any shot. They're that good. And so the two things that scare these guys are really firm and fast. That's what can slow these guys down and make them kind of really work to get the ball into the fairways. And so that's a scary weather forecast for those guys if it doesn't rain.
Jimmy, I'll tell you something else. Let's talk about what's great for championship ratings when we're watching this. And there's no Phil. We don't know what Tiger's going to do. If the weather maybe gives us a day off, we don't know if that'll happen or not. We mentioned no Phil. We mentioned no Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau breaks the hammock bone in his hand. You were talking a couple of minutes ago about grip. Have you ever had this injury? I've had this injury. It's no picnic, let me tell you. It's the same thing that Jose Ramirez had a couple of years ago. It's a small bone in almost your wrist / the palm of your hand. You break that little bone, it's on his left hand. Talk about how that's going to affect his grip moving forward when he gets healthy.
Well, it's going to affect him, and you know, what he really needs to do is just take the ample amount of time off the game, right? I mean, that's really the key for him, is to let it heal all the way so he can come back and be healthy. Because that's, you know, I see so many players with wrists and hand injuries that come back too quickly and they struggle with it. They can't, you know, they're still in a little bit of pain. They can't get back. And so that's going to be a big deal for him, especially the amount of speed, the amount of power that kid has. It's not normal, right? I mean, it's not normal for ball speeds to be in the upper 190s. You know, it's just, the torque and what he creates is insane. So he just needs to be patient and get healthy before he comes back. And that's hard to do because you're sitting there and you're watching it on TV. You want to be out there, and it's hard to not want to get out there and compete, but he needs to get healthy.
All right, so besides Rory, who's sitting at the top and looking at this, you know, leaderboard, guys that are within five strokes of him right now, some of the names out there, I'll just throw them at you, and then you tell me who you think's got a shot of tracking him down. You mentioned Scottie Scheffler still on the course. He's at one under par. Justin Thomas at one under on 14 right now. Patrick Reed, a nice round today, one under 69. Tony Finau, a one under 69 as well. Any of those guys, or is there somebody else you think might have a shot at catching Rory?
You know, Kenny, I think it's still wide open, truthfully. We're in round one, right? I mean, so, you know, anybody that's, I mean, as long as you didn't blow up and shoot 77 today, you're still in this golf tournament, right? You got to get it back to, you know, you got to be around even par after tomorrow. You know, cut's probably going to be plus two or three, I would assume, you know, right around in that general vicinity, maybe a little bit more. But, you know, we're not even finished with round one, so I don't think that – I mean, I love where some of those guys are at, and I'd rather be where they're at. But, you know, as long as you don't play yourself out of the golf tournament in round one, there's a lot of guys that can catch Rory. And here's the bad thing that we all know, even though I love him. Rory's a great player, but, you know, Rory can come back to the field very quickly too. We've seen it so many times happen. But there's like, you know, I love Shane Lowry, his countryman there, the Irishman. I think he's even won over somewhere in that general vicinity. He's a great player. This is a good place for him. Justin Thomas and Scottie Scheffler, you know, they're going to be in the mix, right? These guys are going to put themselves in the mix. Colin Morikawa. I think Scheffler and Morikawa are the only two players that have finished in the top 10 in all of the last four majors. So, you know, that's guys that put themselves in a position with a chance to win every single time. So I'd expect them to do it again for sure.
How long, or does it never go away if you're Rory and that Masters meltdown? Does that stay with you at all times, Jimmy, when things start to go bad after you lead in a tournament? Or do you think, you know, the mental toughness of a Rory has gotten over that?
Well, and, you know, I said this to our buddy Riz years ago when Spieth gagged in the Masters and chunked it in the water twice. I think it stays with the player for a really, really long time, and I don't know how you get rid of it, and I think it stays with Rory. If you look at Jordan Spieth and you look at Rory both, neither of them have been the same player since that happened to them at Augusta, right? They just neither of them have been able to find that form that they had for a very long period of time. I think it really hurts players. I think it hurts them from a standpoint of their confidence. It hurts them from a standpoint that they get themselves in the mix. And they fear a little bit. They have that fear that's in their mind and in their heart that they know what can happen and disaster can come out. And it's just not good for a player. And yes, I totally agree with you, Kenny. I think that Rory, it could pop up at any time. And I think a lot of it could stem from what happened to him there at Augusta.
Yeah, 8 over 80 in that final round that year. I think it was 2012 or 2011, so it's been 10 years at least. We'll see if he's able to bring home the PGA Championship. Jimmy, let me go off script here a little bit from the PGA Championship. And Jimmy Hanlon is our guest. Love to have a guy who knows a little bit about golf on the show, PGA Golf Pro. You can follow him on Twitter. And I'm looking at, you know, your Twitter handle right now with all the different things you got going on at Jimmy Hanlon. 18 Holes Golf TV, The Swing Clinic. You're hosting a show again on ESPN Cleveland. I saw you had our buddy Vince Cellini on the other day. On the show and everything, but I'm wondering about the other league that Phil got in trouble with, the Saudi Golf League, and that I think Greg Norman is involved with as well. What are you feeling? What are you hearing? What are you getting from people around the country when you travel with what Phil got himself into in that other golf league?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, people just are afraid that it was for the wrong reasons, right? I mean, because right after that comes out, you know, they talk about that Phil had to release that he had lost $40 million at some point gambling and so on and so forth. So I think that all mixes in to make a not very good story. You know, I don't know if you just saw it, but that league actually offered Jack Nicklaus $100 million to be the face of the league. Not to play, just to be the face of it, whatever. He turned it down, right? So, you know, there's reasons to do that. But there's also reasons for these guys to just want to play for more money and have the ability to play different golf leagues and, you know, different golf tours and that kind of thing. So it's a tough one. You know, I would love to hear a roundtable of tour players and the commissioner and people from the other league and just really let them, almost like in a court setting, fire their reasons of why they think this league is necessary and why the PGA Tour doesn't think that guys should play in it and everything. I think there's good arguments all the way around. You know, we all know that some of the money that's coming for that league is coming from some people that aren't very great people, and I understand that. But, you know, to these guys, it's just money, right? I mean, the guys that are in the NFL and guys that are in the NBA, I mean, they're getting paychecks, and there's investors in these teams, and there's owners in these teams, and, you know, they're probably not very good people, some of them, too. Yeah, maybe not as bad as these people, because these people have obviously done some really bad things. But it's just it's interesting to me. Like, number one, why some of them want to play, and number two, why they think that they shouldn't play on this tour. And if the PGA Tour would be fighting this bad, if this was just some guys that had a lot of money and they weren't bad people, right, but they just don't want them to leave the tour, what's their argument then, right? So there's a lot of questions. I would love to do it, man. I swear I'd love to head a roundtable.
I was going to say, that's your next TV show. Yeah. There you go. That's the next one.
I'd love it. And it's very delicate, right? Because it's tough to say, hey, these guys should be able to do whatever they want. And, you know, because these people that are creating this tour aren't good people. And it's a delicate situation. It's a delicate question. Obviously, Phil didn't handle it very well, you know. So he just came out and blurted it out there and said that, you know, but Phil's problem, guys, was it wasn't to support them. It was more to go against the PGA Tour because he has an issue with what the PGA Tour is doing right now. And he's a 30-plus year veteran on that tour, and he has issues with it. And so he just went the wrong direction. He supported somebody else instead of just really going head-to-head with the tour. And that's where it all stemmed from, and that's where it came from.
Would he be as upset with the PGA Tour if he wasn't $40 million in debt?
Yeah, that's a great question. That'd be a roundtable question, right? I don't know. But even Ricky Fowler said the other day, listen, you know, I don't think the PGA Tour's run great. They do okay. But I'm not shutting out that I would never go play on this tour, you know, Ricky Fowler, right? So he's not the only one. There's 21 players in the top 100 that have committed to play on this tour, or to play some events on this tour, right? So now it's going to be, are they defective, right? Is the PGA Tour going to let these players back in and allow them to play in their event? It really could get ugly here in the next year in golf, and we'll have to see how it all folds out and what comes from it. But this isn't typical for golf, right? Everybody is lovey-dovey in the world of golf, and right now it's got a little ugly, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, and in today's day and age, the climate that we live in, anytime human rights are involved and what's happened, you know, over there, that's why I think a lot of people, you know, feel the way they do about that. Maybe that's the it's just like the Deshaun Watson thing, right? The personal conduct policy. You don't want that on your team in your league. Well, you don't want your golfers going and playing in a league where human rights aren't equal and the atrocities that have happened over there.
It's any league. It's the NFL. It's the NCAA. Everybody's always going to have a problem with a governing body of work. We don't know, you know, exactly what's at the bottom of it. Jimmy, last night I mentioned the fact that I was watching Swing Clinic while the Guardians were rained out. And I was just looking all at you. You were telling us that you're in Florida right now. So 18 holes, I'm assuming, on Bally Sports Great Lakes. What's next? Where are you at? Were you at Seminole now?
Yeah, so no, we were at Florida State. We were there 2 days ago. Then we were at Florida Atlantic University today, which is a really interesting school, kind of an up and coming school going into the American Conference. The facilities and everything are off the charts, and golf course is really great. And so we come back, and then we go to Kenny will like this when we go to NC State in a couple weeks,
nice.
And we're
going
to play Lonnie Poole, which is there. But our two guests on the show there are Sidney Lowe and Derek Wittenberg are going to join us. For that that round of golf, Natalie and I. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Then we head up to Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez is going to join us at Wisconsin. Then we're going down to do Ohio State. which we're still kind of open there. I'm thinking Joey Galloway. We're even trying to get Ryan Day to maybe join us there at the Ohio State show. And then over to Iowa, Ricky Stanzi is going to join us in Iowa. So we're going to make a little Big Ten run here after we go to NC State here in about a week.
You've got the life, man. I would love to be Jimmy Hanlon for like one summer. You know what I mean? That's it. Just be Jimmy and travel and sit in the balcony at the condo and look at the ocean and hit golf balls all day with Natalie and everything like that. Hey, I did see you post something, though, about, and I watched it, Jimmy, and I didn't know all the details of it, but the 30 for 30 on Greg Norman, the Shark. How good was that by ESPN?
Oh, I thought it was just amazing, right? You just don't see guys like that that have, again, had their struggles like we just talked about with Rory and with Jordan Spieth, and he just kind of opened up about it, right? He opened up about, you know, just not being able to finish and close the door and do it. I mean, it was really interesting for me. Greg Norman, that is a very confident human being and a guy that just hasn't failed a lot in his life, talk about his failures and what happened in golf and how it all happened. I thought it was just tremendous. I thought they did a really good job. And I thought Greg Norman did a great job, right? I mean, he just was very likable to me in the whole thing. And I've watched it twice because I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I thought it was really, really good. Nice job by ESPN.
The reaction of him watching his missteps, right, his failures, and just sitting there. And then, like you said, being brutally honest about it. I thought it was fascinating, Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I really, you just don't see people do that, especially guys that are, you know, him, you know, I mean, guys that are
right.
So confident and so successful in their life, but he could have been so much more. I mean, he was just so good, but he just had that problem of just closing it out. And I still to today think he doesn't know why. You know, I don't think Greg Norman could put his finger on why I just couldn't close it out at Augusta, but, you know, it was interesting for him to go through it again and try to have those emotions, and I really enjoyed it for sure.
Yeah, and like you said, for somebody of that stature in the game of golf, right, to be willing to talk about the negative things, right? Kenny, you only ask negative questions, right? LeBron, any of the athletes these days, they get upset when you question why they had a bad game or something, you know, and they don't want to do that, so what have they done? They've created their own social media outlet so they can tell you what they want to tell you and not have to answer your questions. For him to do that and be open to that, I thought it was fascinating, and if you haven't seen it, look for it. It's a 30-30. I think it's called The Shark, Greg Norman. It's great stuff, as is whenever we have Jimmy Hanlon on the Kenny and JT show. Always great stuff. Jimmy, thanks for making time for us. Go back, have your margarita or whatever your foo-foo cocktail is.
Line those up too, Jimmy. Line them up.
Yes, line them up. Put that salt on the rim and enjoy those. And we'll talk to you. What's the next major? Do we have? Is it the Open or the British Open or the U.S. Open?
Yeah, U.S. Open is next, and then the British. It just seems weird that we're at the second major championship already, and the weather's barely changed in Cleveland yet. We haven't even sniffed, you know, any type of good spring or summer weather yet. But yeah, we've only got two more after this.
All right, Jimmy, thanks so much, bud. Be safe. We'll be watching for you, as we always do on Bally's, all right?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.